Hey everyone, God bless you. Thank you again so much for tuning in here to Hope Ministries. I am your podcast host, Kenny. It is a pleasure to be back on here. I know the weekend has passed by. I haven't recorded in about 4 or 5 days, but again, so much has happened. If you kind of hear me sounding a little weird, I have a really awkward cut in my tongue, and I've been trying to adapt with it, trying to speak with it, but you know what? The devil is a liar. I am not going to accept that. He will not silence my mouth. I'm going to continue on and push forward, and especially on today, because today we have a pretty cool episode that we're going live with, and my friend AB Suarez, who, you know, I'm going to tell you guys real quick how this happened. He attends here at Freeport Bible Center, and one day I came here. I mean, I think I've seen him many times when I've come here, but it was funny how we actually had interaction happen one night. I came here for a teaching. They had a vigil here, and originally he wasn't supposed to translate for me, but the way the ministering went, the Spirit was moving, he ended up moving into that slot. And let me tell you something. It was pretty powerful, because when he came in, you know, I just felt a flow for me and him. And AB, you know, I just want to tell you real quick, now that you're here, I appreciate that so much. And I feel like a lot of people, you know, they don't really, I guess translating isn't really fun for a lot of people, but when you can flow, it feels good, right?
Yeah, man, for sure. Let me also say it was a big honor and a privilege. You know, I wasn't ready either, right? Pastor, I was supposed to do it, and when I just saw like the Holy Spirit moving, I was like, all right, let me hop in there. I was praying for her from the back, actually. You might not have seen me. I was interceding for her and for you.
Oh, wow.
From the back, and they were like, AB, go. She's too choked up. And I was like, all right. And, you know, it's a way that I've started being used a lot more this year. Apostle has me as his personal interpreter on Wednesdays, because we just started doing bilingual services on Wednesdays.
That's awesome. So yeah, you're the apostle, huh?
Yeah, so.
You know, I have to commend you, though, because, you know, I've been to a lot of churches, and, you know, I actually recently, in a kind of funny twist, I was kind of thrown into a translating moment for my parents. We were at a Sweet 16, which I was emceeing, actually, and they had one from each five ministries, and they went to go pray for the girl, and they were doing it in Spanish, but it was, you know, people only understood English. So I was kind of thrown into the fire, but I noticed something, that when you bring passion to what they're saying, that's, I believe, the direct translation of everything, right? Yeah. Like, if you just say, if someone says to you, Dios es real, and you say, well, God is, you know, real. It's like, you have to bring the punch. You have to you know, if you don't do it, the person speaking the language is not going to grasp it, you know?
For sure. One thing I was taught when I first started doing it is, you're the mirror of that person. You are that person, like, that just word in a different language, right? So if you can't match their energy, kind of, something's being lost.
Yes, lost in translation.
And, you know, some people like it, some people don't. What I usually ask people before, I'm like, all right, so listen, do you want me to follow you around, or do you want me to just stay there?
I noticed you did that. It was so
people,
awesome.
Some people are like, yeah, you just follow me around, you know, so guess what? If they're jumping, I'm jumping. If they're screaming, I'm screaming. Some people, like Pastor Angel, for example, doesn't like that. He doesn't like me following him around.
You know, it's funny. I even got to the point I realized that when I was speaking in tongues, you spoke in tongues, so... Dude, to me, I mean, you're definitely right about the last thing you said. I think some people like their own, you know, their own style. But I appreciate when somebody jumps into preaching, because I want the person next to me to receive just as much as the people that are being spoken to, you know? And AB, that I do appreciate that. And I'm, again, welcome to the show. And yeah, I know, man, I'm on your show. Guys, I want to also let everybody know right now, this is actually a first time ever kind of thing happening here. We have a simultaneous broadcast going on here. AB, I want to welcome AB to Anchor. Anchor has blessed me. To the creators of Anchor, God bless you guys, because you have really built such a great foundation, a platform for many of us believers to share the gospel with so many people. And guess what? It's for free. We can do this, you know? And, you know, AB, I want to inspire you, because in my first week, iTunes picked me up within 3 days.
Word.
And
nice.
Now, right now, I'm on Overcast, Pocket Cast, Google Music
so
Play,
awesome,
Facebook, and now here on iTunes, of course, Anchor. And I want to inspire you, man, because I know that's coming to you as well.
For sure, man. And for those of you listening, you know, this podcast, like Kenny said, simultaneous with his, this is life through a different lens for those of you that are listening with my guest, my friend Kenny. So, special episode, you know, two podcasts going at
once. Yeah, this is crazy, right? It's your first time thing. And I'm excited because, you know, when you first told me about the whole podcast thing, you know, I won't lie to you, you weren't the first one, man. You won't be the last one either that people said, oh, Ken, you inspired me, right? But, you know, time went by and you're like, hey, by the way, that podcast thing, I did it, you know? I think, AB, I've heard so many times a young person tell me I'm going to and they don't. You know, what's your feeling on that?
A lot of times is depending from what I experience, you know, like you said, it's happened to me too, where I say, I'm going to do this and kind of just slack off. But with this You know, when it's really something God has put in my heart, and I think I mentioned this to you, something he really put in my heart, I was like, what am I waiting for? You know, like, when you told me, just download Anchor and you could do it on your phone, I was like, because I was looking into mics and all this stuff.
Same thing.
And I was just like, well, you know what? Let's just try it out on my phone, you know, rip the Band-Aid right off and, you know, hop in. Mm-hmm. And it's been good. You know, it's been a blessing to hear, you know, people's lives and stuff like that.
It really is. I personally have heard some podcasts and they're very inspirational. A lot of people have used podcasts, I would say, for not always the right reason, but that's for everything in life. I mean, social media, Instagram, Facebook, all these things, you know. But something really happened here. And believe it or not, it was weird. One time I was recording an episode, and when I finished, I looked up at this painting that my girlfriend just gave me, and it was like deja vu. I lived the whole thing over again. God was kind of showing me since the beginning I had you in these things. And, you know, I tried so many avenues. Like, I mean, I'm trying. I mean, not that I'm trying, is that I'm definitely producing fruit, but this right here has elapsed everything. I think everything I've tried hasn't reached the fruit that this has produced. And
that's awesome.
You know, I do want to thank my listeners for tuning into this episode. I don't want to chew your ear off too much, but there are two testimonies coming up, so we're gonna go right into it with AB here. And I want you guys to hear this very loud and clear, because it's good to hear me and to hear what the thoughts coming out of my mind. But when someone jumps on here and shares the same passion and is willing to help a generation with their words of inspiration and knowledge and wisdom, I mean, I think that to me is the greatest legacy we can leave behind to people. So, AB, I'm not going to take up your time anymore. Please share with them your story.
Well, for those of you listening on both of our shows, for those tuning in for the first time, like Kenny said, my name is AB, Abraham Suarez, you know, 22 years old. I'm a student at Queens College.
Nice.
As you guys will find out, I'm a parent to two boys.
Yes.
I'm a leader here at Freeport Bible Center. Been here my whole life. Done everything there basically is to do here at church. And I'm a teacher at the Bible Institute. I'm actually the assistant director of the Bible Institute as well. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, have four sisters, you know.
You're the only boy, or?
I'm the only boy.
There you go. You hold the last name.
Yeah, Colombian, just like Kenny.
There we go, man.
So there's another thing we bonded on.
We love Jesus and we're Colombian. There you go. Christ in Colombia.
Real Madrid fan.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We're three for three today. Right. Oh, to my listeners, I've been looking for somebody. I mean, for both listeners, I'm so happy. Real Madrid in the building tomorrow, Champions League. But
yeah, man.
Let's get back into it. It's not taking time.
But yeah, so like, you know, story is my family came from Colombia, you know,
nice, likewise.
1990, born in 1995. So around, I want to say 96, I was about one when my family came here to Freeport Bible Center. Okay, my grandma had heard about the church. She introduced my mom and my dad. And I was presented here. So at that time, my parents, you know, they got into the faith, you know, they fell in love with the church. Some stuff happened with my family where my dad actually got deported. He got himself mixed in. I don't know all the details yet. And to be
honest, how old were you when that happened?
My dad, I was like four.
Four
years old. Wow. So, and my dad has not been able to come back. Mm. And, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff there. But like I said, I'm never going to know all the details. And you know what? That's okay, because I've come to understand.
So since you were four, you haven't had your father around?
No, my dad lives in Colombia. He's not been allowed to come back. Mm. He got involved in something that eventually actually was a federal investigation.
Okay. Wow.
So he was held in a federal prison. I didn't know all this. I actually have been through the years finding and discovering little tidbits of this. Mm. So he was held in a federal prison. They told me, they're like, Homeland Security came to our house and everything. And like, I was a baby, so, you know,
of course,
don't remember any of that. So that happened. And my dad, he was faced with a choice to either stay here and serve a minimum 10-year sentence or, you know, go back to your country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, I hold nothing against him anymore. You know, as a kid growing up, you know, there was obviously some tension. And
it's hard, to understand.
But, you know, he went back to Colombia. And, you know, ever since then, it's just been me and my mom. One of my sisters lives here in the U.S. as well. Hmm. My other three sisters live in Colombia.
Hmm.
So, you know, growing up, single parent home. But thank God, you know, here at church, I found, you know, especially growing up now and now being a parent myself, being able to understand how pivotal of a role these people here played. I found so many different father figures and mentors that kind of offset that balance. Wow. Apostle, you know, I say it all the time, you know. I was like, he's like my dad. There's another he's a pastor of our daughter church now, Pastor Hugo Barragan. I literally call him dad.
Gio's dad, huh?
Yeah, Gio's dad. So wherever we go, you know, he introduces me as his son, and he introduces Gio as his son.
Wow.
So it's that's that bond there, and so many other people, Pastor Liz, you know, and so many other people here that just I now can see that God put them to fill that void.
Yes.
Of, you know, my father not being around. So, yeah. And so let's see. Let me backtrack. So at 10, I got baptized. I fully came to that, you know, that understanding of accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Got baptized. At 12, I became a leader of a cell group here at Freeport Bible Center.
Wow. Advancing quickly, huh?
Yeah, man. And then I slowly joined the Bible Institute around 13, 14, and, you know, went through my 4 years of the Bible Institute, was a leader of a cell group for about 3-4 years. Then we had this weird transition for the youth, where we have what we have now, 18 plus and Youth Without Limits. Mm-hmm. So when Youth Without Limits started, and I will always love Youth Without Limits, because when it first started, there was 3 people Apostle had placed in charge of it. It was myself, Pastor Donnie, and Pastora Wendy Hiron. So Youth Without Limits is my baby, essentially, you know. It's going to be 7 years this year that they started.
That's great.
And, you know,
right,
work with them, you know, very hands-on for so many years. There's been, obviously, like we all do in our childhood, we go through that rebellious phase, of you know, course, and that teenage phase where
it's almost natural now.
Yeah, man. And 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Yeah, and
lukewarm lifestyle.
Yeah. And, you know, I went through that process, and it wasn't until, like, it was funny because I was always I ran track in high school. So, like, all year round I ran. So, like, I would come from track meets to come here. We used to have Youth Without Limits on Saturdays. Mm. And then there were days, you know, I can say this now, and I've already apologized to them, so it's all good, where I would just milk the fact that I was at a track meet and be like, I'm not going to be there today, guys. I'm so sorry.
It's too long.
And, you know, they were like, okay, you know, because you know, I did a lot, you know, for the first, like, I want to say the first 6 months, the person teaching was me. I was always preparing the lessons and doing that. So I think I got burnt out.
Mm.
And nobody, I hadn't really learned how to balance everything yet.
Mm.
So what happened was, is they brought in Gio, who was a really good friend of mine, and Kenny knows him, to help them out. And there it was like a blow to my pride. And it was like, so they brought in somebody to take my spot, but not just anybody, my best friend to take my spot. So I was
it's like a movie scene.
Yeah,
like,
right?
It's like
and
a script right there.
Man, and I was just like, Well, hold on a second.
Whoa, hey, guys.
Hold on, guys. I'm going to be around.
I'm not going anywhere.
And so I apologized, and you know, I came back, and Gio's like, yeah, you know, we've developed this, you know, this system of how we're going to, you know, where the authority lies. I was like, okay, cool. Let me hear it. And it's like, okay, the pastors, well, they weren't anointed as pastors. So Donnie and Wendy, okay. And Gio was like, okay. AB right beneath Gio. And I was like, whoa,
big on titles,
but so like,
you see,
it was at that moment. I kind of was like the first time I had my ego checked in ministry.
Which that really needs to happen. I believe at some point that has happened in a young person's life.
For sure. And, you know, so, and funny because Pastor Angel had come to talk to me. He's like, yeah, what's been going on? You know, like, they've been telling me you haven't been around. And I told him, I was like, listen, been really tired from track and, you know, all this and life, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, okay, but, you know, pick yourself up and go. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And I did. And I really had to, like, really, like, bite my tongue for a couple months. And, you know, and then we finally worked things out. We were all united, and we started to see Youth Without Limits really grow. At its peak, Youth Without Limits had like 60 youth coming each week.
Wow.
Each week consistently. Yes. That studio was packed.
Hmm.
And man, that was definitely all God, because, you know, I was super busy, you know, but something that we were doing was attracting all these lives, all these souls, all these young people, you know, because people would come and they would just be like, listen, like, something about here, like, we just like we feel like it's home. And then eventually, you know, we transitioned, which was tough. I remember out of nowhere one day, I had actually gotten sat down right before the transition happened. So I'll tell the story of what happened. I was one day texting one of the youth, one of the young girls. We were just talking, right? And I had asked her, you know, what's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you? She told me, she's like, I called my teacher, abuela. And I was like, ah, LOL, LOL. And then I told her what happened to me. And in my teenage, immature mind, I used a word that wasn't really appropriate.
Yes.
Nothing really bad, but like, it wasn't appropriate for the context of the conversation. And then, you know, that happened. And then, like, a couple weeks after, like, I get called into the office, and they're telling me, listen, this happened. There was another situation that had happened, which was, like, a joke that had just gone wrong.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, that's not even that big of a deal. You know, we got that handled out. And then Pastor Angel's, but I need to talk to you about this. He had gotten screenshots of the text conversation.
Wow.
And I was like, screenshots. Oh. I was like, but Pastor, read. It's. I was like, there's no ill will in there. Yeah. I'm not even, like, I don't even like her, if that's what this is trying to insinuate. And he's like, yeah, but you can't be you can't be using words like this. He's like, imagine if you were in the workplace and you used this. Uh-huh. And I was like, you're right. And I'm just like, ugh. And so he's like, listen, I'm gonna need to sit you down. And I was like, how long? And he's like, I don't know. So I was like, all right, cool. You know, I think for that point in time of my life, I took it pretty well. But that wasn't even the hardest part. What happens was I was supposed to preach at a church. And, you know, I had let them know months in advance. Like, I'm telling you, like, they put flyers on Facebook and everything. My dad saw it on Facebook and was like, I want to tune in to watch you preach. And so a week before the event, right, I'm at home, you know, doing me. And then I get a call from Pastor Angel, and he's like, hey, I need you to tell this church that you can't go. And I was like, wait, wow. Pastor, it's only a week before the thing. I was like, I get it. But that's kind of irresponsible, you know, like a week, that's going to look bad on me. He's like, I understand, but completely forgot. I need you to tell them, you know, you can't really talk about it right now, but that you can't make it because I need you to just focus on you and keep reflecting. I was like, all right. Called them, and like, I'm mad enough to say it. The moment I told the other church I couldn't make it, I cried in frustration. I was just like, God, what is... All right, I was like, God, I'm already on the bench. Like, now they're telling me I can't even, like, go. Yeah,
you can't even be the team anymore.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah. What? And, you know, it was a big ego check. It was a big ego check. And so, you know, at that time, too, I had been working with both ministries. I had been working with 18 Plus and Youth Without Limits as a leader. Because at that time, they were on different days.
Gotcha.
So I was able to do both. Because once I turned 18, I was going to 18 Plus on Thursdays, and Youth Without Limits was on Fridays or Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Then they slowly transitioned to both being on the same day. So what I was doing was I was going 1 week to 18 Plus, 1 week to Youth Without Limits, to helping out in both. And so when I got sat down, I was just going to 18 Plus, right? And then Pastor Angel tells me, he's like, okay, I'm going to take you, you know, you're going to be off of, you know, Disciplina. If for those of you guys listening, Disciplina is a very common term in a Hispanic church. Yeah. Disciplina is like, you know, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
you're kind of benched or suspended.
Yeah. You're in timeout. And
for grown people. Yeah, right. You're in timeout. So, and he's like, all right, you're coming off. And I was like, okay, cool. He's like, yeah, but I need you to be a Youth Without Limits on Friday. I was like, okay, why? And I go there and they're like, yeah, we're doing a transition ceremony for everybody, you know, that was a leader that's over 18 to go to 18 plus permanently. And I'm like, I was a little hurt. I was like, but you promised me I was going to come back to Youth Without Limits, right? And he's like, yeah, but this is what Apostle wants. This is out of my hands. And I was like, all right. Again, hard night. Again, Youth Without Limits is my baby, was my baby. And it was hard to let it go. But now with hindsight, I can see, you know, it needed to happen.
Yeah.
Focus my attention strictly on 18 plus. It's gonna be 3 years just serving 18 plus now.
Wow.
Yeah, man. And you know, life has happened, you know.
Wow. you know, I definitely hear from what you're saying, your testimony, it's like the roller coaster effect, you know?
Yeah.
You love being here, but obviously you know, I feel like sometimes we call a place home because it feels comfortable. Mm-hmm. But a real home, if you go to any house, is a combination of love and discipline. Even the word mm-hmm. says that he loves us so much that he disciplines us because mm-hmm. he doesn't want us to leave that path, you know? And I think that's for all listeners on both podcasts listening right now. It's very important to make sure you're not calling home a place that only makes you feel good, a place where you can escape from things. That's called vacation. That's called fairy tale places. And don't get me wrong, it's good to get out of there and recharge your batteries. But,
for sure.
You know, I've heard, the reason why I bring this up, I've heard many people in AB's situation who would come to me and they would ridicule their ministry and their pastors because they think that what they said was unfair. And I think all of us do have that. Deep down, we feel that, you know what, this might not be fair, but it is edifying me. I don't think we realize, I think this is one of the major mistakes us young people make. We don't realize that one day we're going to be 40 and 50 years old. Yep. One day we're going to be leaders of the church. One day we're going to be the elders of the ministry, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what happens. Like, we just kind of think about the now and the parameters of a maybe 2 or 3 year, you know, area. But I think that what you went through made you the man you are today. Now, as far as you know what it means to be disciplined and, of course, to serve.
For sure, man. Yeah, like you said, especially what's really hit me, like where I really look back and I'm like, man, I can really, really appreciate it now again. And I'm gonna keep saying it, is when I got kids, man. Because it's crazy. I was talking to Gabriel, the younger one day, and I was like, Gabriel, why do you do this even though I told you not to do it, right? And in the moment, the Holy Spirit's like, now you know how the Father feels. And I was like, oh,
those are the best.
Got
moments.
Me. I was like, okay, right. You got me, Holy Spirit.
Right,
yeah. So like you said, man, it's been edifying. I mean, yes. there's been some tough pills to swallow that seem like they're the wrong thing. But again, it's the right thing in hindsight. Yep. And we don't understand it as young people, mm-hmm. right? And there's still some things that we'll be told to do. And we're like, why are we doing it this way, right?
Yeah.
Not even just in church or in ministry, but in life, you know, mm-hmm. where our parents will be like, listen, trust me, do it this way, yada, yada, yada. And we're like, but why?
But there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Exactly. So like, and then we come to realize and we're like, this is why. This is why.
I've been there before, especially with my story. But I just want to wrap up that testimony you said, because I think everyone who's listening right now for in both podcasts can really, I guess I can relate, especially in that area, being in a church and just feeling almost as you're being treated unfairly, you know,
mm-hmm.
Especially for the ones who are truly sons of the house. You're going to feel the heat the most. I mean, if you're kind of there, you know, every now and then, you can kind of escape the fire. But when you're in there, not only the fire of the Holy Ghost, but the fire of discipline and leadership, you know.
For sure. There was something, you know, that was Bishop Joseph Matera had come to our church 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Right. And he's like, he said, those that want to increase in level and authority, guess what? What you can do is like limited. He's mm-hmm. like, because you have your people who come to church and that's fine, right? Not everybody's called to be a minister. Not everybody's mm-hmm. called to be a leader. And that's completely fine. He's like, those people can get away with certain things that you can't. He's like, the more you go up in ministry, the more your anointing grows and the more your authority grows, best believe, like the things you can get away with are minimized. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to see that, man. Like there have been times where I get a text, it's like, where are you? Services started. And I'm like, I'm here. You just don't see me. I'm here. Yeah. And they're like, oh, okay. That's all I wanted to know. But another thing that I want to tell people is, you know, because I was a leader for at such a young age, it's funny because people told me, like, you were basically a pastor's kid. I was like, no, I wasn't. That's something a little different. But I do know what it's like
you
to have all eyes on you.
Yes, uh-huh.
All eyes on you. Being like the poster child of the youth or the star person, you know, this is the next pastor. And I'm like, I've always like, stop, guys, like, you know, let me go through my process, right?
Yeah.
But being in that position for such a young age, it was really hard for me to be vulnerable, which is again something I'm really starting to embrace now, because the biggest thing the enemy, well, our flesh really tells us, and the enemy and the world tell you, is, well, people are gonna judge you when you be real. And that's, I know this is probably one of the goals of your podcast and mine. It's to be real, right?
Yeah.
And it happened to me like a year and a half ago. I'm very open. I've had this ongoing battle with pornography, right? Mm. It's a generational curse in my family.
Man. Yeah, we've had
and a lot. So, you know, it's gotten a lot better, you know, a lot better over the years. And, you know, once I put it out there, I was preaching about it and I was literally writing. I had this whole preaching written out. And the Holy Spirit stopped. He's like, I'm not going to give you any more words. This is where you pause and you come out and you tell everybody this. You give it a name. You put it out there.
Yes.
And wow. Caps, I wrote, stop, tell them. Hmm. And I got to the point in the preaching and I was just like, I literally went, okay. And I told him, listen, I've had this ongoing battle with pornography and masturbation for a really, really long time. And you know what, though? Once I put it out there, I was shocked at how many people weren't judging. How many people were like, man, we appreciate you being so real. Mm. Like, you don't understand how much this has helped me because
yes.
I can be open and have no fear of being judged. Mm. So wow. Once the word says it, once we put it out there, you know, we take the power out of the enemy's hands because, like, what is he going to do? Expose what?
Yeah.
You've exposed yourself.
Exactly. You laid yourself bare before everyone.
So that's something I think as Christians that is hard for us, especially like when you become a leader or a pastor's kid, right? Mm. To be so vulnerable and real with people, right? And once people see that, man, the whole perception of being a believer and a Christian is.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, AB, that is a struggle for people like myself too. You know, I feel like a lot of things fell off me, but that for some reason was lingering, you know? And it's funny, I remember one time I was talking to God, I'm like, Lord, if you just send me my girlfriend, this would be so much easier, you know? And then one day, you know, Lord shows up, I'm like, you see, God, it's easier. And then an hour later, I'm like, this is not easier, you know? And I feel like this has a lot to do with what you said is not only the confession behind it, but the belief that God has you, you know?
Yeah.
I think many youth, if you're listening to Unbold Podcast, understand this too. You're never meant to deal like some strong warrior against pornography or sex. The word tells us to flee from these things because this sexual morality is one of the major gateways and portal the enemy uses to get to our minds, our brains, our habits. And he also uses this to stop us in our flow.
Yeah.
You know, we think so much about what we did with pornography or sexual acts and we just kind of lose it right there, you know?
You're absolutely right, man. It's so true. I can't tell you how many times like I was so hard on myself, right? And it's like, and literally the voice was like, how are you gonna go preach?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, and it's so hard to fight that voice, right? Because that guilt in that moment comes down
it's hard. It's like an anvil, you know?
And, you know, it's again, you know, there are moments where like I'm like, all right, you know what? I screwed up. You know what? Cool. God, sincerely, obviously, God, forgive me. Holy Spirit, help me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like, help me. I'm gonna push through this, you know, and the word tells us, you know, every day we're gonna fall.
Yeah. Oh,
for man has fallen short of his glory every day. And you know what? And another thing is people have this misconception that, well, if you do pornography, it's just worse sin than lying. Mm. And that's not true. Yeah.
People think there's levels of sin, but
there's not. I mean, there's different consequences that come from each sin for sure, but they're all the same in God's eyes. Whether you tell whether you say a lie, or you watch pornography, or you kill somebody, or whatever it is, it's all the same. Amen. So it's just this mentality that I guess even culture has kind of put on us, right? Because like Christians have to be perfect.
They have to be perfect.
And if they're not,
room for error.
Then how are you serving God? And it's like, but hold on. Like Jesus is the only perfect man that I know.
Yep.
And guess what? He had 12 non-perfect people with him. And guess what?
He was able to teach them.
I'm here today because of those 12.
There you go.
So, like,
you know, I had a conversation with one of my students, and I had to let her know that I'm not Captain America. there was a moment where everyone walked up to me. She walked up to me, and she was like, I was like, what's your perception of me? And she's like, honestly, you're one of the most, like, flawless guy, like, people I've ever seen work for the kingdom.
Oh, man.
And I said, Ken, like, you know, you're good here. You can do this. You do everything. You sing. You minister. You teach. And let me tell you something. And I want to get that set up a movie scene for you guys. Like I opened up my closet, so to speak, and I just let her in on everything. I'm like, I want to give you a rundown of everything that I'm experiencing every single day, whether it be pornography, whether it be hatred, whether it be jealousy sometimes, whether it be my own ambition getting in the way, whether it be why isn't it my time yet, whether it be how come they have money, I don't have money. And I feel like, you know, what happens is, you know, we do work very diligently for the kingdom.
Yeah.
But people do forget that we're also human, that we have flaws all over us, that even though we're better at suppressing them and hiding them because we trust in God more, they're still very much there.
For sure. And it's crazy, right? I love being a teacher for that very reason, right? I'm a mentor here at Freeport Bible Center. I have three people that I mentor.
Mm.
And I'll put their names out. It's funny because I took a lot of inspiration from, like, the people who minister with you, the people, the team you have, right?
Yes, team is
great. And it's crazy because God is, like, building that with the people I'm mentoring, right? So the three people I mentor is the first person I did for my show, Jasmine.
And then Jazz, shout out to you, Jazz. Yeah,
shout out to Jazz. I love you, girl. She's shout awesome. Out to Eli.
Yes.
And shout out to Sammy Brioso.
All right, here we go, yeah.
Those are the three people I mentor, right? And, you know, they all came to me and they were like, AB, like, we feel so insignificant compared to you. And I'm like, guys, like, stop. Like, don't put me on this pedestal. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I appreciate, you know, the praise you guys give me. But just know that I'm at where I am now because I've already made mistakes, right? Yes. And I always tell them, the reason why God has me here is so you guys don't make the same mistakes I do.
There you go.
And I let them in. Like you said, that was the hardest thing of being a mentor, right? Like, really exposing yourself to them and letting them in. And guess what, though? Like, because they're already doing it with you. And when you be real with them, they're like, the bond grows even closer.
Yep, that's exactly what she said. She ended up telling me, she's like, I want to follow you even more now because I have noticed. And you know what happened was when I said that, a burden fell off them as well. They're like, hold up. So we don't have to be perfect. I'm like, listen, it's one thing that about being perfect or not perfect, but it's one thing to learn from your mistakes. One thing to understand that, you know what, this I cannot do any longer, and this I'm going to continue, you know? Yeah. And I think as a leader, especially in my situation, being a pastor's son, it was a lot more different too. They're like, you're a pastor's son and you do everything well. I mean, I remember I heard people one time telling me, they're like, oh my God, your Spanish got better. Oh my God, you're writing books. You're singing. Oh my God, you help clean the church. And it's like, oh my God, I want my daughter to marry you. Like, you're a perfect guy, you know?
Oh,
and I was falling into these things and I'm just like, if they knew, you know? But for I feel sure. like, AB, you know, I think one of the greatest things that we can do as leaders is be transparent.
Yeah.
I always told my students, authenticity is something that every person appreciates. I don't think you can hear somebody say, you know, I have this, this, that, and that, and that. But when someone says the reality of what they're going through, people can relate. Yeah. For instance, if you hear rappers nowadays and singers and artists nowadays, yeah. they're about money and guns and fame, right? But not everyone can relate to that.
Yeah.
But when you talk about the real struggles of life, when you talk about something that's really happening, people can relate. And that's what's called a relationship. I can relate.
Yeah.
That's why the word says that we don't have a high priest who hasn't been able to go because we have a high priest who can empathize with temptation because he's been through it. So that to me, ministry means like, wait a minute, hold up, Jesus. At some point, someone had to come on to you.
Yeah.
At some point, someone said, wait, he's the Messiah? I'm going after this. You know, so like,
yeah.
This is the real stuff that he even went through himself, you know?
For sure, man. And I think that's, you know, when we read the Bible, I think sometimes, you know, people get this misconception about Jesus too, right? And it's funny because I hear people say it all the time, well, you know, why do Christians judge so much? Jesus walked with sinners, right? But Jesus walked with sinners and he was real with them, you know?
Yes.
He was absolutely transparent, like you said. And, you know, even the disciples were like, Master, like, what are we doing here? Like, what are these people here? Like, what is going on? He was like, don't you guys understand? Yeah. Like, this is how we reach people, you know,
yes.
not by pointing the finger, not by being judgmental, by having real conversations, by being authentic and transparent with
yes.
one another. And, you know, with Jesus, it was the only thing was that he could only empathize, like you said,
exactly.
because he had nothing to share
yeah.
sin from.
Yeah.
But his gift of empathy was so great that he attracted thousands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, us now, you know, that's what we're going to do, you know. I like Kenny and I hope to do with these podcasts, it's through
yes.
having real conversations and being transparent, you know, show you guys that we're human beings,
yes.
you know. We make mistakes, you know, we're not perfect. We were never called to be perfect.
Amen to that. You know, I know for a lot of people listening, I know in this day and age, you know, 30 minutes plus or whatever it may be, it's like, oh my God, what are they talking about? But we want you to emphasize, to focus on this part. And it's solely we're having a conversation that many of you should be having with somebody, whether it's a mentor, whether it's a best friend, whether it's someone you just met that you feel confidence with. It's important to have these conversations because if you avoid these things, all they're going to do is build inside of you. They're going to build these walls of rejection, of bitterness, of just insert things. thing there, you know? And I think what me and AB are doing is simply we're putting on almost a portrayal of what it means to speak to a brother with honesty, you know, with openness. And again, if you're listening to this and it's too much and it's kind of like, you know what, Ken, I mean, maybe cut down next time. We want you guys to we're emphasizing this point exactly. For instance, when you're talking to your friend, does time really mean anything to you? It just happens. That's why it was happening right now. And usually my podcast, both our podcasts, not as long, but this is just to show you guys that if you can have this conversation without thinking about time or anything else in your agenda, just let the things flow. You can really experience a genuine freedom that you've been seeking your whole entire life.
Yeah. You know, I think this is a great segue for us to transition into my part, if that's cool with you.
Yeah, Ken. Yeah, please, please.
So you guys heard a little bit about me. Now we're going to get to my special guest, my friend Ken, Kenny. So Ken.
I mean, you've been listening to me for quite some time
so
now, right?
Now you guys get to see me drive the conversation a little bit.
Yes.
You guys don't get bored of one voice too much. So Kenny, it's funny, right? Because like you said, you've seen me around a couple of times, and I've seen you around a couple of times, you know, here at church. But we didn't really meet till that day that I interpreted for you, right? And it's crazy because people at church, like Joanna, Maura, good friends, mutual friends of ours, they were like, oh, we're going to Kenny's church, you should come. And they were like, I was like, you guys say Kenny, like, I know who Kenny is. like we sat down and kicked Kenny it, guy? Right? And they're like, well, you know Kenny. And I was like, I know his name, and I've seen him, but, like, I've never really, like, hung out with you, right? So that day, it's funny, like you said, we just kind of connected, you know? And this is actually like the first time we're really sitting down and having a conversation, so we're getting to know about
each other.
Honestly, guys, believe it or not. So, Ken, tell us about yourself, man.
Oof, wow, where do I begin? Well, first of all, my name is Kenny Rudiaz. I'm also Colombian, like my friend AB here. And you know, I'm a pastor's my mother's a prophet, my dad's an apostle, and you know, they had their encounter with the Lord when I was 4 years old, so we share the 4 year old kind of thing, you know. And I didn't know anything going on. I knew that my father was, they had a very rocky beginning to their marriage, on infidelity, you know, just not on the same page of many things. But my parents, honestly, are a testimony and a half. And you heard that one time on one of my podcast episodes. And, you know, I think everything kind of like, when I used to go to church, I used to just not want to be there. I used to go there, and then everyone, again, you would command the respect because you're a pastor's kid.
Yeah.
You know? And guys, for all you listening, if you're a pastor's child, it's as real as it gets. You almost feel like you're the president's kid. You know, like you can walk in wherever you want. You know, I remember, like, I'm hungry and people get food for me. You know, I would play these cards so much, right? And we had a church over in Junction Boulevard in Queens, actually.
Oh, wow.
We actually went there today to do some stuff for a book that I'm going to release. And
nice plug for your book, right?
Yeah, right. A little plug right there. But I'm happy. I'm sorry. I'm excited about that too. But you know, different story for a different day. And you know, so I started seeing church as this place of like judgment. It was dull. It was boring to me.
Gotcha.
I didn't really understand it. I mean, yeah, I'll go to Sunday school. Yeah, I would be involved in praise and worship. I would do whatever they ask of me, but I hated it. And I didn't realize till right now that I only disliked it because I didn't have any connection with the Spirit of God. It was very dry to me. And my parents were faithful, man. Whether it would be in New Jersey, whether it be at Junction Boulevard, we had church in my house. We had church around the corner from my house. We have changed locations so many times, almost to the point where I'm like, I'm fed up with this. I don't want to go anywhere else, you know. And even when church was in my own house, guys, I didn't go. So I want you guys to hear that out loud, right? That's how crazy it was against church, you know? But it was just, to me, it was all a long process to get me to where I am today. Being a pastor's kid is not easy at all. We were talking before we started recording with AB about how it's a burden to many young people. And I feel for you guys out there. If you are a pastor's child, I understand what it means to you know, let your life be lived with under this microscope of perfection, of you have to be holy. Where's your prayer life, you know? Even in school, when I was told my parents were pastors, they would look at me like, you're a pastor, son, you know? Like, wow, that's horrible. Your parents must suck, you know?
And, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I'm just like, you know, wow, like, you know. And even to the point where I would lie, I would say, my dad was, he was a CPA. He owned many of his own companies. My mother did work for an airline, all these things, and had her own salon at one point. But I would always use that, even to the point where that was long gone, you know? I'm like, oh, yeah, my dad makes bank, you know? So I would stick to my past and things that made me feel comfortable. And I hated talking about God or anything spiritual. I thought it was stupid. And it's just real. I'm being real with you guys. And all of a sudden, as the years went by, you know, I never, you know, I'll admit this. I always had those kind of weird prayers where it's like, when I knew I did something wrong, I'd be like, Lord, save me, forgive me, right?
Oh,
but I don't want to get to know you, but just forgive me of please, this sexual sin or this robbery. I was a little thief in those moments. And I would steal money from my parents. I would steal money from people. I would do so many things and kind of justify my actions. As I got into my higher teens, I started sports gambling. Mm. I started drinking a lot, partying a lot. I left the ministry completely. I went to go do my own thing. I followed the footsteps of my brother and sister. No, I am not blaming them. Please don't blame your siblings for your decision. I just monkey see, monkey do. So I said, you know what? Hey, why not, right? And as things kind of unfolded, I started realizing in my early 20s that I was missing something. Mm. You know, watching my parents being faithful every single... I mean, they didn't change, guys. They didn't, like... It wasn't like they were trying to, like, throw on this show for me and my siblings. They were themselves the whole entire time. And I got to the point where I'm like, after a pretty traumatic relationship with one of my ex-girlfriends, who I thought I was going to marry and have a whole life with, you know, she just basically walked up to my doorstep and was like, hey, guess what? I want to end this, you know? Ooh. And I want to travel the world. And I'm like, oh, great. I want to do neither of those things. I want to stay with you. I don't want to travel anywhere. You know, so, you know, it was just one of the worst kind of things that happened to me. But I do believe this. Everything works out for the good. Those who love God. Maybe amen. I didn't know I loved God in the moment, but I definitely do understand that He had a calling over my life. So if you're a pastor's son or daughter right now, know that I had to learn this. You know, when I first had my encounter with the Holy Spirit, which I'll get into in one second, I had to realize that my relationship is not vicarious through my parents with God. My relationship is with God, and I enjoy it with my parents. And that's something that we don't really understand. We don't grasp that. We think that if my parents are holy, it makes me holy by default, by association. Yeah. No, absolutely not. You are a son and a daughter of the kingdom, which means there are certain things that you have to carry on your responsibility, pick up your own cross daily, so to speak. And once I understood that, once I understood the church isn't a place to go there and just sing hymns and songs and pray for people, and, you know, once I realized that the Holy Spirit was real, not only working in my parents, but working in me, once I had my encounter, everything changed. And I'll get into that real quick. There was a year in 2014 when I was leading up to my graduation, and in the beginning of the year, I just didn't want to drink anymore. I was done drinking and partying. I'm like, guys, I'm wasting $300 a weekend, and I'm getting no girls. I got no girls. I got no action. And the girls that I did want, I didn't even want to be with them. So I'm like, this is horrible. This is the worst thing ever. So how am I going to fix this, you know? And I started praying to God a simple prayer. And if this prayer impacts you, I want you guys to use it. The prayer is, Lord, break my bad habits. This is not a long prayer. I didn't sit there, you know, for days, you know. No, I said, Lord, listen, if you're there, you exist, break my bad habits. And He did break them. After about 6 months of praying that way, I had something that happened in my chest. These palpitations would come, and I was scared because the first time it happened, I was driving on the way to work. Wow. And I thought I was dead. I'm like, Lord, if this is your will, then I'm sorry, you know. But, you know, end up hiding it for about a month and a half, and then I had to say, I couldn't sleep anymore. So I said, Mom and Dad, this is happening to me. I went to the doctor. Doctor took 30 vials of blood out of me, put me through sleep apnea tests, EKG tests, every single test you can think of. Now, guys, I won't lie to you. I'm going to be very transparent. I was 100% sure I was going to have a VD, a venereal disease, a sexually transmitted disease. I was convinced that I was going to have some kind of cancer. I was convinced that I was going to die. Those things were for sure, you know? And when I get to the room, he tells me to sit down. He says, Ken, I got to tell you something. I'm like, all right, doc, just tell me how it is. You know, what is it, right? And he says, Ken, there's nothing wrong with you. Your body actually is perfect in every single way. Now, what? I don't mean perfect as like I'm a perfect specimen. Course. I mean, my blood flow was perfect. Circulation was perfect. Lungs breathing out perfect there. My brain firing at all cylinders, you know? And he was saying, so I'm sorry. You know, we can't really tell you what's wrong with you. Albeit all this happening, my cousin James, who goes to Rey Jesus in Miami with Apostle Guillermo Maldonado, he's a lead singer down there.
Shout out to James.
Shout out to my cousin James. I love you, man. You were one of those vessels that God used to get me into this. And I love you, man. You're a little brother to me. And, you know, what happened was I go down there. It was a conference for 3 days. And, guys, let me tell you something. I did whatever, hooting, hollering, jumping, worshiping, praying. I mean, trying to speak in tongues when I clearly didn't have that gift, you know. And nothing happened. I mean, as far as I thought in the moment, nothing happened. And I was so upset. And I was like, Lord, you know, what is this? This is a show. And my aunt goes to me, Ken, just come to the service on Sunday. So I'm like, you know what? I'm here. I might as well. Go to the service on Sunday. And they had an altar call. Listen, God, I had given my life quotation marks like 7 times to God, but never really did it, you know. And when he did, I said, you know what? I'm here for this purpose. I went up there, raised my hand, and took me to the back room. And they said, before we begin this process, does anyone here want to be healed of something? I'm like, of course. I have this chest condition and no one knows, you know. And, you know, I was talking to a personal, they sent a personal person to everybody. Mm-hmm. It's this huge church. So like 40 people had 40 people. And, you know, this guy's praying for me. And I'm sorry, man. If this guy hears this podcast at one point in his life, I'm sorry. But, you know, you were just like, amen. Are you healed? Are you healed? And I'm just like, dude, this is like Hollywood. This is a joke. Like, where am I at right now, you know? And all of a sudden, the lead guy says, everybody stop talking in this room right now. And I was like, okay, everyone commanded his respect. And he goes, there's somebody in this room that has been diagnosed with a chest condition and doesn't know what it is.
Wow.
And I looked around, guy. I looked around, I'm in a room full of, you know, youth. And I'm just like, you know, he goes, come to the front. And he goes, do you believe you can be healed? And I said, honestly, yes. And the moment that he started reaching his hand towards me, I started crying.
Wow.
And when he touched me, I felt a hand of fire enter my chest and take something out. And, you know, I was shocked. I got down. I fell down. And when I got up, he told me, go run. Now, just to give this quick little thing, the doctor told me that I couldn't have sex, I couldn't drink, couldn't smoke, and couldn't run. Now, mind you, those are breaking a lot of bad habits in one shot. So, you know, praise God. I got up and I ran like a madman in that church. And I got up and the guy says to me, what do you feel? I said, I feel nothing. I feel free. Wow. And I felt literally, physically, emotionally, every single sense of the way, a burden being lifted from my heart, AB. And to be honest with you, I am here today saying what I'm doing today because I can never forget that moment where God touched my life, you know?
I think we all have that moment, right, where... You know, like you said, you really, really, really encounter God. Or you remember the first time you felt the supernatural, right? I remember the first day where I already had given my life to Christ. Mm-hmm. Just a short little story. And but I remember the first day, like, God spoke to me through someone, right? Mm-hmm. We were here. We used to have services called Cafe Night. And somebody said to me, man, I was like 12. And they come to me and they pray over me, right? And they're like, God is saying that you're going to be a pastor.
Hmm.
Boom, fell on the floor right in the aisleway. And I was just like, what is going on, right? Like, somebody sweep my feet, you know? For those of you who have never, like, experienced that, like, there is no tricks or anything. No. It's pure the Holy Spirit.
Yes, I do get that some churches, it looks a little funky, but when it happens to you, trust me, that goes out the window.
So, like Kenny was saying, you know, when you have that supernatural experience, like, it marks your life. They always say, you're never going to leave the same, and it's true because at that point, nobody can tell you God isn't real.
And you know what? That's what happened to me in Colombia. I was sharing my testimony, and I started crying. And I really tried to get back on track, but I had to wrap it up because I cried so much because I remembered what I felt that day. And it's funny. I'll end my thing with this. When I said it, when I was sharing my testimony in Spanish over there in Colombia, I said, even if one of you can receive this message, my message is successful.
Yeah.
It turns out I had to leave right away because I was going to my second church to preach, but the pastor of the church walked up to me after we met about 3 days after, and he said, after you said that comment, there was a person that was not part of my congregation that happened to be there, walked up to me and said, I'm a pastor's son, and I everything he said, I feel like I'm going through, and I want to reconcile my life to Christ today.
Wow.
You know, I never knew this guy's name, never anything, but I will meet him in the kingdom one time. And I'll say, you know what, man, I'm happy that my message transformed your life. So, God, let me tell you something. Maybe we'll get one listener by this point in the episode, in the podcast. Maybe some people are listening or are kind of, you know, wavering in what to believe in or not. But let me tell you something. If you believe in Jesus and you believe that he can change your life and bring restoration to your life, I mean, there's no man that can duplicate or emulate that power. There's no nothing that can rival or match who he is. And I think AB and myself are here to let you guys know that if you believed in Christ today, if you give your life to him, you will experience a transformation that nothing else in this world can give you.
Yeah, guys, like Ken was saying, you know, hopefully whoever's listening to this, hope we've blessed your life. I hope you guys can see that, you know, following Jesus doesn't mean perfection. Following Jesus doesn't mean religion, right? I know that's something we throw out so often, right? Christianity is a relationship with God, not religion. But it's true. It's true. Like Ken was saying, you could be in church your whole life. You know, like Ken was saying, he was in church. He hated it. He wanted no part of it. No part of it until he had that very real moment, that come to Jesus moment. And, you know, and he hasn't looked back since. You know, when I had that come to Jesus moment. Yeah, there have been ups and downs for sure, obviously. There have been tough points. But we want to let you guys know that Jesus is always there for you. He's never going to go away.
Yes.
And hopefully you guys can be, you guys are blessed. And, you know, we're going to pray real quick to wrap this up.
Yeah, go ahead, Amy. Lead us, man.
So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to just be here with Ken, Lord Jesus, to learn from one another, Lord, to just help each other, Lord, expand your kingdom, Lord Jesus. We pray for everybody that's listening, Lord Jesus, everybody that is lonely, Lord, everybody that's been feeling depressed, Father God, everybody that's been oppressed by religion. We declare whoever you are listening right now, that you are free right now in the name of Jesus. We declare that the Holy Spirit touch your heart, that hopefully you have been blessed and transformed by just hearing us, and know that wherever you are, Jesus loves you just the way you are. Your process will never stop. You will never stop making mistakes. Yes. But God is perfect in your imperfections. Yes. So be transformed by the love of Jesus. We pray all this in your name, Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys for listening. Ken, thanks for having me on, and thank you for being on.
AB, thank you for having me, and thank you for being a part of my episode. Again, for all my listeners out there, I appreciate you guys staying in and listening to this whole podcast. And we inspire you guys. Maybe you're not going to make a podcast. Maybe you're not going to make a YouTube channel, but do something. You know, God has given you that creativity. Do something great in this world. And I think you can hear from the passion for myself and AB. You know, again, your life's not going to be perfect, but when you're with God, I mean, all those imperfections go away, and you can just flow with the way God made you. So thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you guys have a great day. God bless you, and I love you all.
God bless, guys. Have a great day.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.